Father in heaven, we do just again bow our hearts and our heads to you as God Almighty. Thank you for being here already this morning and how you've been working in our midst and speaking to us. And Lord, sometimes we ask a question in a service like this: what all do you desire? What all do you want? What are we missing? And Lord, there's just a desire within us to have all that you have for us. We desire more. We desire to be complete, both in our personal lives and walk with you and corporately. And so, God, we just open ourselves to you in that manner. Lord, we ask that you'd give us that longing, all of us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. I also ask, Lord, that you'd meet various needs among us. I pray especially for Rochelle Mass, as she's in the hospital today. I ask that you'd bring healing to her. I ask, Lord, that you would be with Joe as his father's passed away, and in the Penrod family with the grandparents, Lord, pastor, a grandpa passed away. And I just ask, Lord, that you'd be with Josh, Ruth, they're serving in various places. And Lord, we're just here again to open our hearts to you. Thank you for being here. We recognize you as the head of the church, and so, Lord, guide my thoughts. Help me that I could find my inspiration in you, and all of us could be drawn to you this morning through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Marriage roles. There was a request that came in. Yes. Thank you, brother. Right there. Thank you. I appreciate that because it's annoying to sit there and see it. Thank you. And by the way, anyone has the liberty to do that at any time. Feel free to do that. I don't take it offenses at stuff like that. In fact, I appreciate it because it takes the annoyances away from everyone. So it's good. There was a request that came in last weekend in those little slips about teaching on roles in marriage. And so preparation for this morning seemed like that was where the Lord was sort of steering me to go. And so I trust we can open our hearts to the Lord in that. Marriage roles. And by the way, some of you that aren't married, you might sit here and say, well, that's not for me. If you don't care to listen to that this morning, you can sort of put earplugs in, and then once you get married, then you don't need a good marriage. Or you can open your ears and find some good understanding, and when the Lord draws you in that direction, you'll have good understanding in some of these things. So it's for everyone, right? And even for those who the Lord has called us to singlehood, there's principles and things that we can get out of these things that can be a blessing for us in various areas of our walk. So the trusted can be a help for us. If you want to, maybe first of all, I'd like to just read a verse in 1 Corinthians 11, and then we're going to turn to Ephesians 5 and read a number of verses there. But let me just first read in 1 Corinthians 11 where it says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Gives a clear headship order, right? Christ, man, woman. God, Christ, man, woman. Gives a clear headship order. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read a number of verses here as we look at the subject of marriage roles. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like to maybe first comment on verse 21. There are some people who, I'm going to say, mistake this verse. If you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 5, it's giving instruction to believers in general, believers in general in the church. speaking to yourselves, in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is specifically directed toward all believers, not linked together with the husband-wife roles. There's some people put that together, but if you look at the overall context, as well as what we will continue to see then, it's to be separate. Verse 22 starts in then addressing the husband-wife relationship. Verse 22 says these words, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." I would like to suggest this morning, you know, all of us want good marriage relations, don't we? We do. We want good marriage relations. And I like to suggest that the way that God has set things in order within the home and given us directives, if we do what he says perfectly, we'll have a perfect marriage. Right? A perfect marriage. The unfortunate thing is we find ourselves to be in the flesh, right? We find ourselves that many times we don't measure up. And yet as we look at God's clear design within the home, and the closer that we come to how he told us to be, the better relations we're going to have and the better it'll function in our home, in our marriage, and in our home. So, what he put out here is a clear headship order. And then, apart from the headship order, he goes into a lot of how to have good relations, being kind, and all of those types of things. And I won't focus as much on that this morning, but more on the roles, okay? More on the headship order. And there could be, you could spend a lot of time on all of those things. But I'm going to be more specifically focused this morning on the roles. Okay? I like to just maybe give you a little story to help us draw our minds into the kind of situation we're talking about. I received a phone call some time ago from this brother. I know him quite well for many years already. He lives in a different state, doesn't live local. But he called me and he was sharing some of the deep struggles that they're going through as a family. And I remember, in years gone by, I remember very clearly times I've spent hearing his heart, praying with this brother, the vision that he had for his family. All of these things I remember very clearly. But this is what's happening today. Things in his home are literally falling apart. He said this. He said, pray for me. He said, things are in a big mess. And he said, my son is so bad these days that my son is out in the shop right now building explosives and he's trying to bring harm to the family. And, of course, the things are going around in my mind, stepping back, knowing situations, knowing things that have happened over the years. And as I do that, there's a couple things that stand out very clearly. First of all, as I look at the home situation, it seems very clear that the husband is not clearly leading out, and there's areas of great neglect that he's not in leadership, not taking responsibility as a husband. And in response to that, there's a wife here that struggles and is frustrated and has come to the place where she's not clearly in subjection to her husband. And there's attitudes and, you know, all kinds of things here. And then there's children that are coming up. And they have developed the same habits, the same attitudes that mom has. And there is clear rebellion everywhere. And things are literally falling apart. Okay? Why? I'm going to suggest that the husband is out of his place. The wife is out of her place. And the children have learned to be clearly out of their place, and there's all kinds of frustration, horrible things that are going on today. The role of a husband. The role of a husband. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult in a marriage situation when husbands and wives are making decisions. There's difficulty for there to be a clear understanding of the expectations that God has. And first of all, I'd like to just throw out the idea of when everything shakes down and at the end of our life, who is God going to hold responsible for the things that happened in our home? Who is God going to hold responsible? And while we struggle sometimes through decisions, while we face difficulties, and first of all, I'd like to lift up the idea a husband and a wife have a personal responsibility in our walk with God. But I'd like to ask the question, who is God going to hold responsible for the things that happen in our home? Is he going to hold the wife responsible, or is he going to hold the husband responsible? That's a good question, right? That's a good question. If you look in the book of Exodus, the story is given of Moses, how that God called Moses out of the wilderness, and he was giving him responsibility. God was giving Moses responsibility, and he was calling him to go over into Egypt and to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. And if you read that story through there, there's a time that God had called Moses to go and circumcise his son. And his wife had pushed back on it. Now, that type of thing normally doesn't happen in our midst here, right? Wives normally don't push back on their husbands. But this is what was happening. God had given direction to Moses. If you read through here, God had given direction to Moses to circumcise his son. He'd ask him to. But because of his wife, Zipporah, she resisted him. And as they were gone on the way to Egypt, the Bible says that they were at an inn or a dwelling, a place where they stayed. And that night, God came to Moses, and God wanted to kill Moses because he hadn't taken responsibility and circumcised his son. Isn't that quite the situation? Right? God was holding Moses responsible because God had asked him. God had said, I want you to circumcise your son. And because of the pushback that he was receiving from his wife, he didn't circumcise his son. And on the way to Egypt, for this all the things that happened in the years to come, God came to Moses and God held Moses responsible because of what happened. Because he was not willing to take his responsibility in the home, God was holding him responsible. Listen to what it says here. If you want to turn there with me in Exodus chapter 4, we'll just read. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Kill Moses? Surely not. Verse 25, then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, with a bad attitude, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go, and she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. So who did God hold responsible when God gave direction? Clearly to Moses. And I like to suggest that us as leaders in our homes many times don't take that responsibility seriously enough. I like to suggest that. I like to suggest that many times there are things that come up, decisions to be made, and there are things that God lays on our hearts as husbands for the direction that God wants things to go. And for whatever reason, maybe because we're just shirking our responsibility and not rising up, taking initiative, or maybe because of pushback from our wives, or maybe us just being lazy, you know. There's many reasons. I'd like to suggest that God is going to hold us as husbands in our homes responsible for the things that happen in our homes. And while we many times talk about a wife being in subjection to the husband, and we'll get into that, we'll talk about that this morning. I like to lift up this idea that God in heaven will hold us responsible. He will. God will hold us responsible. It's our responsibility. And so as we look at the role of a husband, what is that role? First of all, according to 1 Corinthians 11, it's for us to be in subjection to Christ. Right? It's for us as husbands to be in subjection to Christ. And there are times when things come our way, and because of whatever reasons come, you know, we know what should be done, but we're not willing to do it for various reasons. But we are to be under our head, which is Christ. That's huge. If we don't take that responsibility as husbands, God is going to hold us responsible, not our wives. And obviously there are things, you know, I think you know what I mean when I say that. I'm talking about areas of direction. I'm not talking about our walk with the Lord. Husband and wife, there's an equality when it comes to our need to have a personal walk with God and repent of our sins and all those kind of things, okay? But God holds us as husbands responsible to be in subjection to our head, and our head is Christ. Our head is Christ. That's huge. If we don't get that, we'll miss it. If we don't get that, we'll miss it. Here are some words that describe some of the responsibilities. It uses the word head of the wife. Okay, now this is, you know, we're assuming here now that we're clearly in subjection to Christ, okay? Now, we're looking at our responsibility to lead and direct our home. Here's some words that are used. Head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Okay? Now, wives, let me just say this. If you're here this morning and you're shrinking back at these words, you know, they sound scary, right? The man is my head. I have to obey him. But we're looking at Bible terms, right? And I know if I go around these benches, everyone, husbands and wives, would say, I want to serve God, right? I want to obey God. I want to do it, okay? Let's ask ourselves a question. Well, what does God want of us, right? What does God want of us? Okay, so here's some words that describe our role. Head of the wife. Let's just consider that for a minute. Head of the wife. Head. I'm going to use this because, you know, all of us have heads here, right? All of us have heads, and it's from our head that direction comes. Now, is there anyone here who your hand tells your head what to do? Anyone here? Anyone? No? Is there anyone here whose foot tells the head what to do? Anyone? No? Anyone here that the mouth tells the head what to do? Maybe tries to, but it don't work that way, right? Okay. Are you getting my point? Okay. The point is, the head is the center where the direction comes from. The head is where the direction comes from. That's just what the Bible says, right? Head. Or another way to view that is head, or it's the word direction, or you know, however you want to say it. But it says this word. It says the head, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, how many of us here would want to tell Christ what to do? Anyone? Surely. Is there anyone here? You know, is there anyone here that would like to tell Christ what to do? Anyone? Why not? Because he's the head, right? He's the head. He gives us direction as a church. Okay? So he gives us direction, and we are to submit to him. Okay? The head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So he gives this parallel in simply saying that the same way that Christ gives direction to the church, to us, we as husbands are to give direction to our wives. Okay? It uses it as an example. And I think for us here in the church, we understand that very well. We don't even question it, right? It's very clear. No question. Sometimes when it comes to practical things, some of these things tend to become foggy in our minds. Okay? But that's why we need to come back and talk about the clear roles that God has given us within a home. Head of the church, even as Christ, the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I'd like to ask a question, and I'm going to ask for a raise of hands, okay? Because I'd like to, for us to think about this, how prevalent it is. This is a question. In many homes, direction comes from the wife to the husband, and the husband okays it. Has anyone here ever seen that? Anyone seen it? Okay, most of us have, right? Okay, we've seen that. Okay, now is that out of order or in order? Out of order, right? Now, we'll talk about, you know, as we go on down through here, we'll talk about the need for the wife to be dialogue and the man to hear the wife. We'll talk about that, okay? But do you see what's happening? You know, in church here, we're all very clear. Christ gives us direction. We don't give Christ direction. We don't. I mean, we know that. We don't. Okay, but all of us know homes where this is out of order. And if I say out of order, I'm simply saying where things come to the husband. And I'm just going to suggest that a lot of this happens very unintentionally. And I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. I have seen many sisters in a marriage relationship, and when we talk about it, I can sense a very deep desire in her heart to be in subjection to her husband, and yet, if you see how it works itself out in the home, the direction comes to the husband, and the husband okays it. Okay? Are you connecting? So, I'm not here. When I say this, brothers and sisters, I'm not here at all with a critical heart and feeling that there's just a bunch of rebellious women in the churches around that just want to go their own way and just want to flaunt their thing. I know that's not the case. Here and there might be some, but in the situations where this is happening, often there is a very sincere desire to be clearly under her husband, And yet the way it's working out, it's not working out that way. Okay? So I just want you sisters to know that, okay? I want you to know that. Many times it's because they don't really realize what's happening. It's not because there's just a, I'm just going to do what I want to. That's not the case. But rather a very sincere desire to be in subjection and yet not clearly understanding how to do that. I want to make that clear. Okay. So, the direction, and if I say direction again, it ought to be flowing from the husband to the wife, same as from the Christ to the church. But many times it goes from the wife to the husband. Too many times. You just see that. And I'm going to suggest that that creates a lot of struggles in the marriage and with the children. Many children don't turn out right because of that fact. Husband not clearly in subjection to Christ, wife not clearly in subjection to her husband. Okay, being a leader. Here's some things that sometimes leaders face in a very real way. I'm just going to say that this is in our midst, not just with one or two, but with many of us. With many of us, we feel, I'm not sure how to say this. For many husbands, we feel the things that our wife sees and says, she has so many things that actually go beyond what I'm able to see. And, she sees further than I do. On various things, okay? And because of some of that, we shrink back a bit. I don't know, am I making myself clear? There's many, let me say it this way. There's many sisters in here that are very capable. God has the gifts they have, the abilities that they have. They just have an ability to communicate, to talk, to be able to express themselves way beyond what her husband does, right? That's there. That dynamic right there, okay, that dynamic makes or has a tendency to make men shrink back a little bit, okay? Do you follow what I'm saying there? It has a tendency for men to shrink back from their God-given responsibility to simply lead in the home, because they see their wife as having more ability to lead than what I do. Okay? I think we need to be aware of that. The question comes then, how do we do that? How should a woman function? And we'll talk about that some when we talk about the ladies, okay? But I like to just bring an awareness of that. Let me ask a question, men. Does that give any reason for the headship order to change? Not at all. That doesn't give any reason that headship order should change. And because of that, there's many that just simply open themselves and the direction, they hear this, it sounds good. And so rather than being in subjection to Christ, there's actually a turning this way for the direction. Do you follow? There tends to be a, when that's present, there's a tendency to, rather than focusing this way for my direction then, there's a turning this way for the direction, because the level of being able to talk, communicate, express, all these kind of things tends to be beyond what I have, and so there's a reverse. Okay. So I'm bringing that in to just simply help us to say, men, that just simply means that we need to have a very clear understanding of our responsibility and our role. And we'll talk about how the wives should respond to their husbands when they have some of those abilities. We'll talk about that, okay? But let me just be clear here, brothers. We need to be in subjection to Christ, wives in subjection to us, in order for this to flow the way God would have it. Now, who's God going to hold responsible? Us as men, right? He will. God will hold us responsible. He will hold us responsible. So, in our roles as husbands, what are our responsibilities then? I'm just going to name a couple, okay? And this goes way beyond my little list here. What our responsibilities are. We as husbands need to provide direction for the spiritual temperature in our homes. And I say that that's in communicating with our wives about just where they're at, communicating with our children, that's in leading out in family devotions, that's in just sensing the spiritual temperature and our wives, and as we communicate together and we work together with the children, all of these things, it is to be together. And we'll talk more about that. It is to be together. But God's going to hold us as husbands responsible for those things. And it's our responsibility to be giving oversight and direction. And when our children need to be, or they come to the place of conversion, all these things, it should not be that the wife just takes and does those things on her own, but those things ought to be joint with the husband leading out very clearly. Whose responsibility is it? It's the husband's. And so the wife should be right there under the husband working together. So, our role, in what areas? First of all, in spiritual direction in our home. Setting the spiritual temperature. If things are not where they ought to be, dads, it's your fault. It's my fault. It's our fault, dads, husbands. If things aren't where they are, we can't blame our wives. We can't blame our children. It all comes back to us. God won't hold our children responsible for the things that that happen in our home. The sharp words that God had to Eli. God held Eli responsible for not bringing clear direction in the days of the tabernacle and how his sons were wicked in his home. God held him responsible for that. God held Eli responsible for that. Because of that, his priesthood didn't continue. And he actually brought, they died. He ended up rolling off the bench and dying when he heard the bad news and just horrible things that happened. But God held Eli responsible for the things that happened in his home. Our role, finances, discipline for the children, modesty, church, the future, where we're going, all of those things, God holds us as men responsible. That doesn't say that a wife shouldn't ever do the finances, or it doesn't say that, some of those things wife can't do some of those things, but under the clear direction of the husband. Those things need to be clearly directed by the husband and not just the wife leading in those things. Here are some words that describe the heart, the attitude, and the place that the husband should have in the home. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Those are some good words, right? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. I stand here and I say, God help me. God help me. If I'm supposed to love my wife the way that Christ loved the church, I'm here to confess that I have a long ways to go on that one. I do. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Here's another one. Love your wives as your own body. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. I tell you what, you know, I come home and I have some aches and pains. And, you know, the other night I woke up and my feet were so, they just felt, and I just felt like I needed to do something to take care of my feet, you know. I just felt like, well, maybe the thing to do, you know, to help my feet feel better would be to just go soak them in Epsom salt. You know, my feet, I'm supposed to care for my wife like I do for my feet. Okay, sometimes I wonder if I have more care for my feet than my wife, right? Isn't that something, brothers, right? Do you get the point? Many times we have a lot of care for our body and not so much care for our wives. God help us. God help us. Here's another one. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter. You know, you might not face it like I do, but on occasion, she'll do something, and she didn't even do anything wrong, okay? But it just sort of annoys me, right? And guess what the tendency is to do? Is to respond out of those feelings, and guess what that develops into? And she never did anything wrong. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Here's another one. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Brothers, how are we going to lead our home in a God-honoring way and be clearly under the headship of Christ if we don't even know what's going on in our wives' hearts? And let me just tell you, husbands, let me tell you, there's a lot of husbands that don't really know what's going on in their wives' heart. Right, husbands? That's the honest truth. Many times in homes, in husband-wives relationships, the husband doesn't really know what's going on in his wife's heart. And if he doesn't really know what's going on in his wife's heart, how can he lead his home, it says here, dwell with her according to knowledge, dwell with her according to understanding, knowing the situations and being able to properly care and direct and be there if we don't know, according to knowledge. Husbands, I'd like to suggest that it's our responsibility to hear our wives, to be able to hear what's going on, to be able to understand. There's some men that say, I can't understand my wife. Then maybe we ought to be working harder, right? I can't say that I understand every little detail, but I'm going to say that I endeavor to, and it's my heart, and I'm trying to understand what's going on, right? As husbands, it's our responsibility to do that in order to be able to lead. And giving honor to the wife. Now, honor, 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 honor. Okay, I think we should all say that together. I'll say that together, just the word honor. Honor. What does honor mean? Doesn't it mean to give respect? Right? To give, to lift up. Okay? Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, our wives, I think we all recognize that emotionally and physically, our wives are naturally a little bit weaker emotionally and physically than us as men, right? That's just a part of their makeup. So in response to that, we're giving them honor and recognition for who they are, okay? We give honor and recognition for who they are and respect. We don't trample on them because of some of those things, but we give honor, we lift them up. The role of a wife. The role of a wife. I have a brother that was a couple years younger than me. And I'm going to say that in our growing up years, in our ambitions, I have another brother, Jason. And Jason and I, Jason was 1 year younger than me. And in our growing up years, Jason and I just sort of made stuff happen around home, okay? We just sort of did stuff and and the dust was flying behind us, right? And my poor brother Steve, we didn't have a whole lot of respect for, and I take responsibility for that. We didn't give him, he was a little bit more timid. There are struggles that he faced in his younger years that were very difficult, and we had no idea some of the things he went through. And I remember the day when I found out that he had in his little journal, he had put his aspirations in of one day leaving home and being a train engineer. He couldn't do other things in our minds, right? He couldn't do other things like we could, right? There's a day that, you know, God helped him, and God helped him sort through those things. But the day that he got married and him and his wife were joined together in a very beautiful way. And his wife is one of those ladies that can sort of help herself. She can clearly make things happen, right? She just has a lot of ability. Outgoing ability and just make things happen. But let me tell you, brothers, my brother's wife came under him. And let me tell you, a couple years after they were married, us, the rest of the family, we sat back and we couldn't believe what was happening and how my brother Steve started to blossom. Not because of me, right? Not because of me. But his wife clearly came in subjection. Today, he's a leader in a church. Today, he runs his own business. Today, he has become a man and he's leading the home. He's leading in many areas in the church. And let me just tell you, if his wife wouldn't have clearly come under him, he would not be where he's at today. He would not be. Wives, that type of subjection, that type of support, that type of coming under like she did, made a man out of my brother. A wife is to be clearly under the headship of her husband. Here's some words that are used to describe her responsibility in that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now let me just read that again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, I think we should all say that together. As unto the Lord. Now, all of us here want to clearly obey God, right? We want to obey God. Obey God. I want to obey God. I want to obey God. Okay? But when it comes to obeying our husbands, we shrink back. It isn't happening like I thought it should. Right? But the Bible says, as unto the Lord, in the same way. Well, what if he is making the wrong decision? As unto the Lord. Big decisions, small decisions. Okay, right? As unto the Lord. Let me just read this again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, here's another one. As the church is subject to Christ, us as a church subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. I know various sisters who have a clear respect and a submission to the church leaders than they do to their own husbands. I know ladies who have a clear submission and a surrender to their father than their husband. But the Bible says, as a church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things, in everything. Now, you know, what I'm teaching here is what the Bible says, right? So if we want it to turn out right, we have to do it according to the way the Bible says it. Right? If we want our homes to turn out right, if we want the church to turn out right, all of these things, it has to be according to the way the Bible says. And here's another one. The wife see that she reverences her husband. And I sort of scratch my head a little bit, and I'm not sure how to feel about this as a husband sometimes. But in Peter, it talks about how even as Sarah called Abraham Lord. I'm not sure about my wife calling me Lord. I'm not sure about that, right? But wives, did you hear that? Wives, you obeying and your attitude and your submission like Sarah to Abraham calling him Lord. That's big. That's big. Okay. Now here's some questions, and I need to try to wrap this up quick here, but too much. What shall I do if my husband is not leading out and I see all these needs? This is a very real problem that a lot of sisters face, wives face. What shall I do? It's a question. What shall I do if my husband is not leading out and I see all these needs, right? What shall I do? And just recently, I was talking to a couple from another congregation who had come for some help. And as we were talking, and there are some fairly major issues in the home and stuff, and we were asking questions, I started asking specific questions about how if the wife is feeling pushed by the husband and making decisions, and the husband said, yeah. And when I started asking the wife some questions, she, all of a sudden, she just said, "Well, I just see all these things, and he's not leading out in the home, and he's not, you know, directing the son, he's not directing, you know, the children, and you know, and I just don't know what to do with it, right?" That's where a lot of wives come to. Did you hear that, dad or husbands? Did you hear that? Okay, there was a cry there. I heard a cry coming from her. My husband. First of all, I'm going to say that the husband is not shouldering responsibility, first of all. But secondly, there's also this wife just confessed. She said, I see all these things and I keep bringing them to him and I keep bringing them to him and I keep bringing them to him. And there's this frustration that builds and the husband feels pushed. And okay, that happens, right? I think us as couples, we've all had some of that, right? We've had some of that. What is a wife to do when that is happening? That's a good question, right? What is a wife to do when that happens? Let me just put this together and say, it is the responsibility of the wife to share her heart with her husband, the husband to be listening, and then it is the responsibility of the wife to sort of, can we do this? Like this, okay? Not push. Okay, not push. And become and have a meek and a quiet spirit and to go down on her knees every day and pray, 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 pray. What do you think will happen if that if that's the procedure? All of a sudden, God's going to be prompting. See, when the Spirit of God comes and starts working in a man's heart or a woman's heart, it's bringing the thought, bringing the idea, giving grace, right? Okay? So if a woman is praying in these things, it's not God's will that a woman pushes her husband. Never. Never. I mean, Sarah pushing Abraham is wrong. You know, Zipporah, you know, pushing Moses is wrong. But a communication, a discussing, a dialogue, so there's a clear understanding, and then going on her knees before God and praying. And making sure that the wife is not pushing her husband. Let me tell you, if a man starts feeling that his wife is pushing him, the natural tendency of a man is to shrink back. And I know you wives don't want that. I know that. You want your husband to rise up. And if there's this tendency, if she, you know, if for you wives, if there's this tendency for you to start becoming a little bit pushy or maybe even showing displeasure. If your husband makes decisions that you don't approve of, the tendency of your husband is going to be to draw back. Wives, you might ask the question, well, how do I make sure he doesn't feel pushed? You know what we used to do? Years ago, we had the thing and we were trying to find our way, and you know, she didn't want to push me, and yet I wanted to hear her, and then, you know, if she'd say something and you know, I was looking into the future, and if I'd make this decision, then I'd know she wouldn't feel nice and happy with me, and I wanted to please her, right? You know, I wanted to please her, okay? So this is what we did. I told her, I said, I want you to just totally share your heart. I want you to be open. But then what would really help me, this would help me, if you would just tell me that, okay, I'm giving it into your hands and I'll support whatever decision you make, I'll support that. Whew. You know, would that help us as men, right? All of a sudden, it gives us responsibility. We know our wife is going to be there. She'll support. And yet I've heard her heart, and then I come to God and say, God, what do you want me to do here? And I make decisions, okay? But I've heard my wife's heart. I have understanding, but then I'm making a decision. So what shall I do if my wife is not, or what shall I do if my husband is not leading out and I see all these needs? Let me just make it clear. Wives, your husbands need to know, and then you back off and you start praying. Okay? That is your role. If you start pushing, leading out, doing all kinds of things, your home will become havoc because it will move away from the clear, godly order that God put into place. Submission. Submission is not submission unless I give up my desires. Okay? There are some people who simply have a wrong concept of what submission is. There are some, I've talked to people who wives feel like, if I just do what my husband says and yet I disagree, I'm being a hypocrite. That's wrong thinking. Right thinking is, I submit myself even if I don't agree, because if I'd agree, I wouldn't have to submit. Right? Submission is giving myself even when I don't agree. And I choose to cheerfully do it, even if my heart isn't quite there. I'm choosing to give myself in that way. I'm choosing to give myself in that way. Not nagging. Now, here's another question that I've heard women make. How much say do I have in the matter? Right? How much say do I have in the matter? Okay? And so there's a discussion. Husband knows where I'm at, but then I still ask the question, how much say do I have in the matter? That's a question that sometimes wives ask. Well, let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question. How much say does us as a church have in what God wants us to do, okay? God wants us to pray and unburden our hearts, right? God wants us to bring all our needs to Him and tell Him about all our struggles and ask Him for help, right? But how much say do we have in God's decisions to us? I'll leave it there. Here's some words that describe the heart and attitude that a woman should have toward her husband. Obey in everything, submit, reverence, as Sarah calling him Lord. Okay? These are some words that are used to describe what a wife should have toward her husband. Obey in everything, submit, reverence, as Sarah calling him Lord. Here's another thing that was on that paper that I received is, what about the whole thing of leaving father and mother and cleaving? I'm going to say that there are situations that is totally out of order in a home. And I'll describe it this way. There was, I used to work down at Provia in Sugar Creek, worked there for 10 years. And there at that place, there was a young married man there. He was married. He had, I believe, one child. But his mother lived about a mile down the road. And every day, his mother would bring him, you know, out of the goodness of her heart, right? Out of the goodness of her heart, the mom would bring sandwiches for her son's break. Why? Because she loved her son, okay? You wives, how would you feel if your Wives, how would you feel if your husband's mom would be doing that? Wouldn't that sort of come between you and your husband and sort of push you apart? Right? It push you apart. Why? Because you're supposed to be joined together. Let me tell you, that wife did not have warm feelings toward her mother-in-law. The feelings were not warm. They were not warm. Okay? And I'm going to say cold or hot. Okay. Are you getting the point? Here's the point. There are things that a father and a mother can do that can come in between newly married couples or even couples that have been married for a number of years, and there are strings there that need to be severed. And sometimes moms and dads aren't very sensitive when our children get married and they leave home. You know, my wife, she every day brings food up to the shop to, you know, to feed her family, and we have lunch together and have a nice time. And guess what? When Brandon got married, there was a need to separate that, right? Because Jen wanted to make lunch for him. And I'm sure that she wouldn't have felt very warm on the inside and had warm feelings toward us if we would have kept feeding him, right? Because it was her responsibility. Okay, I'm just using that as an example. But I'm going to say that there's many dads or husbands who have a close relationship with their dad or their mom, and so they go home and ask them for advice over the closeness with their wife, right? Do you follow? I'm going to suggest that we need to be sensitive. If there are things that our partner is feeling that our strings haven't been, that we haven't left home, we need to be sensitive and draw together as a husband and wife and allow those things to, to purposefully, we need to leave father and mother. And it can happen in many areas, okay? I use the food as an example. I know situations where anytime someone would happen, you know, the husband would call his dad. Well, why didn't he call his wife? And that started to fester in the wife's heart and push him apart, okay? There's a need to leave father and mother, have a clear leaving in order for a husband and wife to come together. And we need to be sensitive, both from a parental standpoint when our children get married, and when we get married, for those younger ones that get married, a carefulness with that our spouse becomes first over our parents. And just have clear understandings. Now, it's wonderful to have close relationships with parents. That's wonderful, and married, from the younger couples that get married with the parents, have close relations. That's wonderful. But it needs to be in the parameters that it doesn't come in between, so that the couples can draw together. Marriage roles. The Lord help us. Trust we can, it can help us just be in our homes what God wants us to be.